This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
E is for executives and ecstasy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Henry Nicholas is charged with improperly backdating stock options at Broadcom. Nicholas is co-founder and former CEO of the chipmaker. A pair of indictments unsealed yesterday charge him with conspiracy and securities fraud. But Nicholas and his attorneys were also surprised to see a list of drug charges. Prosecutors detailed a private warehouse stocked with cocaine and methamphetamine. They also say Nicholas served drinks spiked with ecstasy to other Broadcom executives. European executives seem to be having more headaches about the credit crunch than execs in the U.S. New figures from an American think tank show banks overseas have shouldered the bulk of the losses from the subprime debacle. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
This will be galling news for the Europeans. The crisis was made in the U.S. with thousands of American subprime mortgage holders defaulting, but according to the Institute of International Finance, European banks have picked up the larger part of the tab. So far, they've lost $200 billion on debt securities, $34 billion more than their American counterparts. David Buick is with the BGC Group. He says it all goes to show how adroit the Americans have been at shifting their complicated financial products abroad.
Well, in the United States, of course, they are incredibly good at sales. When there is a secondary product to come out of, whether it's a derivative or a cash product, there is no peer in the realm like the United States of America doing it.
As the supposedly prudent Swiss now know to their cost, the largest subprime casualty of all has been Switzerland's largest bank, UBS. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Oil is back to around $130 a barrel this morning. Even with oil on the rise again, Wall Street had a good day yesterday thanks to stronger retail numbers. The Dow jumped 214 points to 12,604. The Nasdaq added 46 to 2549. The S&P 500 was up 26 points to 1404. Asian markets were mostly higher today. It's a mix in Europe. Later this morning, we'll get the May employment report. So far this year, the government has said payrolls have contracted every month. Economists expect that trend will continue.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. By Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thriveand.com/retirement. And by gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at Gather.com.
Microsoft walked away from its bid for Yahoo last month, but the story keeps getting more interesting, or exhausting, depending on who you are. This week, billionaire investor Carl Icahn wrote a letter to Yahoo saying the company better scrap an employee severance plan. The plan drove up potential costs of a Microsoft takeover. Icahn says if Yahoo doesn't let go of that severance proposal, he'll keep going with his attempt to ask shareholders to fire the entire board at the company's August 1st meeting. Kara Swisher is co-editor of the Wall Street Journal's All Things Digital. She spent a lot of time with the stars of this drama recently and a lot of time writing about it. Kara, we also heard this week that Mr. Icahn was in contact with Microsoft. Is this true?
I always say 10% of what he says isn't true, and I just don't know what 10%. Some people think that he's carrying water for Microsoft by, you know, beating up on Yahoo. You know, he could have been in touch with them, but I don't think he's been in touch with them in any significant way. It's not some wild conspiracy theory, I don't think.
So what do you think Yahoo should be doing right now?
Well, we had a conference last week, and we had every player in this in this drama there. We had Rupert Murdoch, who has been involved as head of News Corp. We had Jerry Yang and Sue Decker, the president and CEO of Yahoo, who is at the center of this drama. We had Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates on stage. And a lot of people feel, and so do I, this deal has to happen if Microsoft has a prayer of getting within close shooting distance of Google, because right now Google's sort of got a runaway train that nobody can catch. And without that deal, Microsoft is a very small share of the market and declining.
It seems a lot about how these companies are able to play the PR game. I can't help but feel like, I think this morning there's a story about Yahoo with this new toolbar.
Yeah. The problem is, it's a company that's still operating. And so they've got to keep releasing stuff, and some of it is significant, and some of it is sort of vaporware, like all technology companies. In fact, Yahoo is well known for not touting things when they should. But, you know, all these companies have to be in the game of trying to best each other constantly. And next week, Apple is going to be unveiling the 3G phone, and today Microsoft made some bogus announcement so that it could sort of get some press, because the whole tech industry next week will be riveted on Apple, as it always is.
Any heads up you could give us about that Apple phone? Anything to watch for?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of rumors. I mean, it's going to be a 3G phone. It may have a better battery life. It has things like that, which would sort of bring the price down rather significantly. I think it's $200. But everyone's acting like this is like the biggest. I love Steve Jobs. Sort of, it's funny, as everyone's sort of struggling all over the tech industry, Yahoo and Microsoft and everything else, like he just effortlessly sails in and brings out another new product that, you know, everybody oohs and ahs over.
You are going to have a fun summer, it sounds like.
Yeah, I know. It never slows down in tech. It's so funny.
Kara Swisher is co-editor and columnist at allthingsd.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
You'll find a link to All Things D at marketplace.org. The next time you're in the produce section of your grocery store, take a look at the watermelons. They're pretty, but chances are you won't find any that cost over $6,000. That is what someone just paid for a watermelon in Japan. The jumbo black watermelon weighed 17 pounds. Melons are considered a luxury item in Japan. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.